Hello and welcome to Locker Room Access. Special guest today, as we do each time we are on the air with you, Trey Murphy, NBA rising star Trey Murphy of the New Orleans Pelicans. Trey, thanks so much for coming on and joining us.
I appreciate y'all having me on.
Haven't seen you since almost a year ago. We hung out in Vegas and we had a big time dinner with the Locker Room Access crew, and you, Sam Hauser, Ty was there, Justin Anderson. Big UVA reunion.
Huge. It was a lot.
It was really fun. Got to hang out with your dad and mom. That was fun too. And got to meet you and hang out with you a little bit. And one of the things that I always talk about UVA players, it's not lip service because you're on the call, on the air with us, is that the kids that go to UVA really are about the pillars. They are so bought in. They're just such high character guys. And it's so nice to be around you guys. It's so welcoming to be around you guys. I mean, I typically try to surround myself with people who are quality people, and the kids I coach seem to be really nice. So I really feel fortunate. And that brotherhood of UVA student athletes and players is really awesome. Did you get to feel it after being there a year?
1,000%. I would say, you know, that UVA team that I was a part of, that was probably one of the closest teams I've ever been a part of. And I'm not just saying like college-wise, I would say in my entire life, even high school or even middle school teams. And especially during COVID, we couldn't really hang out with anybody else because, you know, all the restrictions. And so we spent a lot of time with each other. And so like after practice, we just go over to Kie's crib and just play cards, watch basketball, sit around, joke, laugh and have fun. And that was just our regular days at UVA, and I missed those times a lot and enjoyed those times.
Yep. What, you know, playing in college and playing the NBA, huge difference, right?
Very different.
Things is that as I understand it, is that you have, while you're in the NBA, you have so much time on your hands.
Yes, a lot of time.
So what do you do with all your time?
In all honesty, I play a lot of video games. That's literally it. In all honesty, I don't really do a lot else. I'm too tired to be doing anything else, so I just be at the crib playing video games.
What do you play?
I play 2K, Fortnite, Madden. There's this other game called Brawlhalla, which is like a Mortal Kombat type of game. For the most part, that's all I play.
Do you play live with some of the former guys, former UVA guys?
Actually, no, I haven't played with anybody yet. I haven't. I mean, I used to play Ty whenever we like be in the same area. We played 2K, and he got the best of me on a few games. But I mean,
well, it is what it is. What really counts, you guys had a great year. You guys made the playoffs.
1,000.
First time in a while, first year coach. You got some really good minutes. I think you played about 14 minutes a game, which is outstanding for a rookie.
For sure. Right?
Shot the ball great.
I did. I shot it pretty solid.
And you really had some good games. I think you had 32 against Charlotte.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. What are you most proud of in your first year as a player?
I would definitely say my resiliency throughout the whole year, because, you know, going into the first game of the season, you know, coming off a really big summer league, really big preseason, in my head, I'm thinking, all right, like there's no way like I don't like make a really big impact like right away. Like I feel like I'm ready. Like it's my time. Like it's time for me to show the world what I can do, win these games, all this stuff. And when that didn't really click for me right away, it was tough. In all honesty, it was really tough. And I, you know, had my times where I didn't play games. Like, they sent me this little, like, chart of my, like, overall activity throughout the whole season. And it said I played 8 minutes in the whole month of January. 8 minutes. And it's just, like, during that time, I was just really struggling. And I was just, you know, trying to find my way, trying to figure out what I need to do in order for it to click together. And, you know, went down to G League, played a few games there, and, you know, just found my groove a little bit. And, you know, the last G League trip, I was supposed to be down there for like around like six games. And I played one game and then B.I. got hurt. And so I had to come back up because they needed another wing. And, you know, the first game we played Orlando, I want to say. And like I played a lot of minutes, played solid. And then like that next game we played against Charlotte and I had 32-9. And that's when I was like, all right, and all I needed was one game. And I was like, I was pretty happy about that.
Trey, you mentioned B.I. Is that what you said? Who is B.I.? Brandon Ingram?
Brandon Ingram. Sorry about
that. Just wanted to let everybody know, just to be sure. Yeah. I'm not the hugest NBA fan, but I do watch a little bit and got it, and really enjoyed watching him in the playoffs. So how did you handle the struggles? And did you talk to your agent? By the way, I know your agent, really good dude, Sean Kennedy. Yes. Great guy. And how did you handle that? Did you talk to him? Did you talk to your parents? Who were you in touch with to sort of as to be your therapist?
I would say it's mainly my player development coaches. They were the ones who were with me every single day and saw the work that I was putting in. And, you know, Corey Brewer, I would say he's probably one of the most important people for me this year because he helped me a tremendous amount, you know, whether that was, you know, just working out with me, like giving me little pointers, talking to me, just keeping me encouraged and all that. He was super helpful for me. And I don't think I would have been in the place that I would have been at the end of the season if it wasn't for him. And so, you know, I would say mainly like Teresa Witherspoon, Brandon DeMoss, and Corey Brewer. Those are my PD coaches that I talked to the most, and they were super helpful for me. And it helped me get through this year for sure.
Is that why you let Corey Brewer score so many baskets on you in that one-on-one game?
Yeah, that's it. I saw the cameras were out, and I didn't want to, you know, just make it look like he wasn't doing anything out there. So I had to let him, you know, I had to get him back. I had to let him get his. So,
and you were grateful, right, for all the help he gave you. So,
no, for sure. That's
right. Sure. All right. So how were you told that you were going to go down to the G League, and what was your response?
I mean, they just told me, look, like we need to get you some reps right now. You're not in the rotation. And, you know, we just want you to develop and get game reps in order for you to be ready for, you know, later on in the season. And at that point, there's not much you can really say. It's not like you're going to be like, no, I'm not going. And, you know, that's just not going to be a good way to handle it. And so for me, I just try to embrace it and just, you know, get the most out of the situation. I mean, it's not a demotion. People look at it as going down to G League as being a demotion, but it's really just, you know, giving you more reps so you can just figure it out because you can't get better just watching. Like, you got to play.
Right. At some point, I would think it's got to be – some people might, like you said, look at it like a demotion or a little bit slightly demoralizing. When you spoke – did you speak to Sean Kennedy? Did you speak to your parents? And they were like, dude, you're good? Or, hey, let's – you know, we got to figure out how to get you back on track.
No, I mean, they just echo just controlling what you can control. I mean, at the end of the day, if I'm not in the rotation, like I got to play somehow in order to get better. And so my dad, he was really just like, look, you just got to do what you got to do. If they sing down there playing G League, you just got to play. If you're playing in an NBA game, you got to play. So just, you know, be you and look at the brighter side of things and understand, like, rookie years are really tough. They really are.
No, everybody says it. Almost everybody, like, with the exception of a few super, superstars, right?
Exactly.
So that everybody and most people do spend at least a portion of their rookie year in the G League. You play in the G League for four games, do really well. How were you treated down there by the coaches, by your teammates?
Just treat me like I was just a regular guy. And I mean, I feel like I was partially on me too, because I didn't try to like snub my nose down at them because they were in the G League. Plus a lot of guys I already knew on the team because they were there for training camp or summer league. And so, you know, I gel really well with those guys. And then Coach Pannone, he was really helpful as well. And he was the head coach for the Birmingham Squadron, which is our G League team. And, you know, he would just, you know, tell me, look, you got to just play really hard and give maximum effort and play really hard defensively. And then that's how you get better. And, you know, the basketball guys will reward you on the offensive end as well because of your talent and your skill level. And so I was super thankful to have him down there. And then like they would bring my one of the other PD coaches I had, we call him Be Great, but his name's Brandon. He would travel down there with me. He was super helpful too, like, cause I wasn't down there just by myself.
You come back to New Orleans and you start playing really well, right? You get in the rotation. How did it come about for you to get in the rotation?
Hitting shots. If I want to, if I'm being completely honest with you, that was something our team struggled with. And I was able to come in and hit shots. What was it? What game? Yeah, it was the Charlotte game. The Charlotte game really propelled me back into the rotation. Like, they realized, like, you know, we really need shot making, and I was able to start hitting shots. I think the game was just starting to slow down for me, which made it easier for, you know, BI and CJ. If you got guys that can space the floor, it makes their job a lot easier.
CJ being CJ McCollum, who is, you know, you've got some talent on that team. And speaking of talent, what is going with the big guy?
I mean, he's, you know, really excited to play with this team, and he realizes what we have in the future, and we're really excited to have him back next year. And you know, I feel like our limit right now, or our expectations are super high and our potential is super high. Like, in all honesty, I think we could be top three in the West, and that's just no exaggeration. Like, what we have right now without Zion was a team that gave the number one team in the league a scare in the first round. You know, a few plays in each game, we might still be playing right now. So, you know, just super excited for the future. I'll say that.
Yeah, no, the ball bounces one or two different ways, especially in that last game that you guys lost.
100%.
You guys are going at least six games, maybe seven against Phoenix.
It takes Chris Paul shooting an historic, having his historic performance to beat us by 5 points. So it's like, you know, you can't, it's not like you just live with it, but it's like you look at it and you're a little encouraged by the future. Like, what's the whole?
Dude didn't miss a shot. Incredible. And he was guarded. Jose Alvarado is tough defender. What's the relationship with my man Jose, who, as you know, is from New York? Rival high school of ties.
Really? I didn't know that part. But
Yeah,
really good dude. I mean, you know, when I first saw him in summer league, I didn't know he was on the team. I didn't know they signed him to a two-way. So when I walked in the room and saw him, I was like, oh my goodness, like, this dude here. Like, because, you know, Georgia Tech, when we played them during the regular season, he was a pest. And he's one of those guys, like, you hate to play against him, but love to have him on your team. And, you know, he's just been a bulldog. And like I would say with any of my teammates, like, I love all my teammates, and we all have really good chemistry, and he adds to that for sure. He's not a guy that, you know, takes away the energy in the locker room. He just brings it.
Yeah, outstanding season by the trio of rookies, you, Jose, and the kid from Alabama, Herb Jones, right? Your rivalry last year against those guys was pretty intense, had some good games. I'm sorry, 2 years ago. Right, if you say that last year was this NBA season,
I'd be forgetting that too.
You're only 21. There's no excuse for you to forget.
Time to be fine. That's all it is. That's what it is for me.
No, I know. So that's one of the things in the NBA, right? You're in so many different cities within a week sometimes. How do you even remember?
I don't know what day it is most of the time. Like, I truly don't. It's either practice day, off day, or game day. And, you know, there'll be times where I'm like, I'll get into a city. I know, like, a friend there. I'm like, hey, look, like, we land, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, come out, like, come, we'll hang out, whatever. And they're like, bro, you understand it's a Thursday. Like, or you understand it's like a Tuesday. I'm like, I don't really have a gauge of days right now. But, you know, there's been many times where I've been in California in the morning, Arizona at night, and then New Orleans in the next morning. And it's just, like, crazy, especially with, like, the time differences and stuff like that.
Yep. Now, when you guys travel, you fly, right?
Yes. Team
charters a jet.
Yes. Every time.
A little bit different than the G League.
Oh, no, very different than the G League. I mean, for our G League travel, we did we did an Escalade, and we would drive from New Orleans to Alabama, Birmingham, 5-hour drive. In a cramped car, it would just be rough. And I didn't. And then I did have to experience, you know, just regular airport traveling with the G League team too. But, you know, makes you appreciative of being up there with the big guys.
If you're a G League player solely, you probably get a lot of sympathy.
No, for sure.
You poor thing having to travel coach or travel in public plane. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, right? Like, it's like, first world problems, right?
No, I'm really happy for you that, like, I watch it and I get to see it, and it's incredible, and you guys deserve it for all the hard work that you guys have put in your entire lives. And now you are reaping the benefits, and you deserve congratulations and everything that you're getting. So I'm teasing you, but I've also heard stories about traveling by bus or traveling by planes and smaller planes. And some of you guys are 6 foot, in your case, 6 foot nine.
No, exactly.
So sitting coach is really uncomfortable.
No, like I went to Charlottesville this weekend, and I bought the flight for the next day at like around 11 o'clock. So the only available seat is definitely like a main cabin seat. And I'm sitting there, and my knees are literally touching the front seat, the seat in front of me. And I'm just like, I can't do this the whole flight. Like, there's no way. I'm leaning in the aisle a little bit, just trying to move out the way when people walk through. It was bad.
All right, guilty pleasure, my confession, whatever. I always want to fly first class. Right? It's just so much more comfortable.
So much more comfortable. And especially for me, it's almost like I have to. There's almost no other option. Like, I could try to get exit row, but if I don't get it, and even exit row sometimes is cramped because, like I had an exit row seat. When was this? On my flight back to New Orleans. And I'm right here elbow to elbow with the guy beside me. I'm just like, look, this isn't comfortable either. Like, bad.
All right. I started talking about rivalry with Jose Alvarado and the first year guys. So do you and Jose talk trash back and forth if Georgia Tech and UVA are playing?
1,000%. There's been a lot of Georgia Tech and UVA trash talk because he's never beat UVA in his entire career. Not even once. And then he never beat me, so I definitely tell him about that. But then he brings up, like, their fluky ACC championships that they won. And I told him, like, there's an asterisk on it because y'all didn't play us because we got COVID. And he was just saying, oh, you blaming us because y'all wanted to go get COVID, so y'all didn't have to play us. I'm like, well, go ahead, man. Like, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no question. Sounds like a really nice kid, and I've met him a few times and was a really good kid. But – the three of you guys add so much energy to that team. And it's amazing how much time the three of you got during the playoffs.
No, for sure.
That's a lot of trust in rookies, right, that are battling and trying to beat the first place team where the coach is saying, wait a minute, these guys that you guys are surpassing and supplanting are guys making a ton of money, right? And you guys get the nod.
For sure. No, it's a blessing. I mean, there's a lot of rookies I look at. There's guys drafted ahead of me that play probably a maximum of about 100 minutes this year. Like, you know, you got to look at the grand scheme of things. And there's times where I didn't play a lot, but, you know, my situation was better than a lot of guys. And there's other guys that had better situations than me. So, like, you can't – like, you're in the NBA, you can't try to look at and compare yourself to other people because it's just going to eat you alive. It truly will.
What was your exit meeting? Did you have an exit meeting with Willie Green, and what was it?
We haven't had ours yet. They were going to give us some time to, you know, just get away from the season, and we'll just do our Zoom meetings for our exit interviews.
Okay, cool. And maybe it's not exit. Maybe it's end of the year. I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to hearing the results of that because they got to be so high on you guys.
No, for sure.
You guys, what a great season. All right. Now let's talk about college. Do you rep UVA or do you rep TCU?
I went to Rice first.
Rice, my apologies. Thank you for the correction.
It's all good. But, no, I support both for sure. But, you know, UVA, it just has a special place in my heart. I mean, I go back and, you know, a lot. And also, last time I was there with the recruit that was at Coach Bennett's house, trying to help him get more recruits and stuff like that. And just, you know, Coach Bennett, he's such a special person in my life, and I would say he's probably a top five, like, human being, like, that I've met just based off who he is. And you know, you don't meet people like that a lot. And so you got to make sure you keep those people around and you just cherish those people. And then UVA, they've always showed me a lot of love. And so, you know, it would just be wrong if I didn't show them that love back.
At what point did you know you were going to transfer to UVA?
What's crazy is out of the transfer portal, out of the transfer portal, I was going to Villanova for about 2 weeks. Like in my head, I'm like, all right, I'm going to Villanova for sure, without a doubt. But I don't know what it was, but I wanted to spite UVA because UVA didn't recruit me. Like they recruited me out of high school, but then they stopped. And so I was like, I was a little hurt about that because I really wanted to go to UVA. I liked the school, all that stuff. And then they came back during the transfer process and was saying, like, all right, just let you know, like, this isn't the same situation, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, nah, I don't want to hear it. But then I had to think logically and I was like, all right, what's best for my future? And, you know, me and Coach Bennett, we had a Zoom meeting because it's during COVID and our meeting was a film session. And right then and there, I was just like caught off guard because during the transfer process and during like the Zoom interviews, everybody's saying the exact same thing. Same thing. Like, all right, these are our facilities. This is how we're going to get you better, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And, you know, I was just tired of that. And so when he came with something different, I really liked that about Coach Bennett. And he was also giving me criticism on my game. And I was like, all right, this guy has my best interest at heart because he's not just going to blow smoke or just tell me, you know, the grass is always super green, whatever, whatever. He's going to tell me what I need to work on. And so that's what it was about. You know, Virginia and plus being closer to home and playing in the ACC was two things that I couldn't really pass up on.
What was Jay Wright's response when you said, hey, Jay, Coach Wright, I'm actually going to go to UVA?
I mean, he just said those are great guys. And, you know, I had a hard choice to make because they're two good answers. They're two good choices. And so he was happy for me and wished me the best of luck and was just super happy. Like, he's just super happy for me. He took a really professional route about that.
You almost didn't play your last year at UVA.
Yeah. I mean, Ty was a big reason why I did, but yeah.
What does that mean? What happened?
I mean, I was going to redshirt because I wanted to just get bigger, stronger in order to be prepared to play in the NBA in the year after that. And, I was in a workout and Ty was at the workout and he was like, so what are you supposed to be doing this year? And I was like, I'm redshirting. He was like, bro, why? And I was like, so I can get stronger. He was like, you can get stronger in the league next year. Like, you need to be playing. And like, when he said that, I was like, bro, go ahead. Like, whatever. Like, I just thought of that as an afterthought. And then I just kept thinking about it. And I was like, you know what? What if I do play, you know, just get a year? It's a free year anyway. So why not play? And I didn't even think about, you know, I didn't think the NBA was a realistic thing until about January of that season. And once I started, like, my dad told me I was getting, you know, a lot of agents calling his phone. I was like, oh, wow, this is like a real thing. Like, I have a shot at this. And, you know, just God willing and God's timing.
That had to be so exciting for you and your family. I remember going through that period and going, almost having the same thoughts, like, really?
Yeah, that was crazy.
When I forgot the first call, and it was some like basically a guy that repped overseas guys who told me that, hey, we want to rep Ty going overseas. And then it started getting more calls, and one of the first people to call was Sean Kennedy. And I was actually in Greece, and so, but I just always really liked him. And I don't know if you know Javon from Excel too. I'm actually looking at the shirt on right now.
Okay, I like it. I like
right?
it.
I got from Sean Kennedy. So great choice in going with those guys. How did UVA prepare you for the NBA differently than maybe another school may have, than maybe a Rice, whatever, maybe a Villanova may have?
I would say Villanova is probably on par with UVA in this scenario or in this case. But, I mean, the professionalism of UVA was – I feel like it's miles above a lot of different schools. And, you know, the way that they run things, I feel like is very similar to an NBA type of organization, NBA program. You know, the skill work that you get in before practice, like really early before practice, skill work that you do after practice, skill work that you do in practice, you know, just the way that they take care of your body, the way they just go about things is ran like a business. And that's what the NBA is about. And I would definitely say it helped me a lot in that area. And then obviously defensively, before I got to UVA, I didn't play any defense for about 19 years of my life. And so getting there and, you know, learning on the fly, learning on the job, like, all right, you're going to have to defend at a high level if you want to play. And that was one of the, that was one of the main reasons why I also felt like, you know, maybe I wasn't there yet to play. I needed a year to redshirt, get better defensively so I could make sure I'm playing a lot, because I didn't want to, you know, not redshirt and end up playing only like 10 to 15 minutes. Like, this is like, it'd be cool, but like, I feel like I would have a lot more impact if I just get stronger and, you know, then I'm able to play a lot more.
Let's talk about the pack line really quickly. How hard was that for you to learn? And do you feel like you've ever mastered it?
I don't think it was that hard, because the main principles is really just keep your man in front of you. And if you're off the ball, be in help. And so it's not really that hard. I mean, it's hard to execute because of the way that we play. Like, we are trying to slow people down and, you know, it's long possessions and all that, but I didn't find it entirely too hard. And if you look at the NBA now, people are moving towards that, like, being the gap philosophy on defense, because you're playing against guys that are superstars. And if they're only seeing one person, they're on an island, it's not good. It's not good at all. And so I think that's helped me as well transitioning to the NBA, because I'm used to playing defense like this already.
It's true. I tell people all the time, kids, when I work with them, I was like, stop trying to do what the guys in the NBA do. Don't even watch it. Or if you're going to watch it, understand you're watching for entertainment value. You want to learn how to play, watch college basketball. Because what you guys do in the NBA is so non-human, right?
No, it is very different.
It was just ridiculous, right? The shots you guys make, the athleticism most of you have, just your ability. It's unreal. It's unconscionable. And so, you know, and it's interesting that what you're saying about the defenses, the strategies are changing. Right, because it's almost impossible to start or stop a good one-on-one player one-on-one. You can't.
You gotta think about it though. Like, the defense is already a disadvantage as soon as you step on the court. You're playing against the best offensive players in the world, and the offense that they're in are some of the best offenses, like, where they're trying to make you pick an option or pick your poison. So you just got to think about all that. You got to understand, like, people's tendencies and things of that nature. And it's just so much more, like, attention to detail and a level of urgency that you have to have when you're playing, because people are trying to score. And at the end of the day, basketball is an entertainment sport, and people want to see them score. So the referees know that as well. And, you know, you just got to find a way. It's tough, but you got to find a way.
So when you're guarding somebody one-on-one, right, let's say you're guarding top player. Like, I don't know who you guarded again when you played Charlotte. Do you remember who you guarded?
Charlotte, Kelly Oubre, Terry Rozier, a few possessions, Miles Bridges as well.
So those are high-level guys.
For sure.
What's the mindset? What's the strategy while you're guarding these guys? Is it like, I'm going to cut them off, or back up and then jump at them when they take a shot and hope they miss?
It's tendencies. You just got to know people's tendencies. Like, for Kelly Oubre, he's a catch-and-shoot type of guy. Shoots the ball at a really high clip. And so, like, and he's also left-handed. So when you close out to him, you want to close out to his left side and, run him off the line, force him into the help, and then let him make decisions from that part. And then with Miles, you know, he started shooting the ball a lot better, but you still would rather him shoot the ball. So you're closing out short but ready to contain, trying to take away him going right, because he's a lefty, but he likes to go right. And then also, if he's going left, he's spinning back to the right or things in that nature. And then Terry, he's super shifty, like, and a really good shooter. And so, you know, you got to close out to his feet and try to contain him and then contest late. And, like, for me, I also, like, take into consideration, like, my height, and I'm looking at the people that I'm guarding And it's like, all right, I don't have to close out as far to this person because I'm long enough to deter their shot at, you know, an arm's length instead of just right up on them.
So did the preparation for the NBA while you were at UVA, does that remind you of closeout drills that you did? Jay Will and I will talk about sometimes the closeout drill that you guys run often at UVA.
That drill was, if you ask any person that played it, any player that played at UVA, they'll tell you three man closeout is the worst drill ever. It's the hardest drill ever. But I mean, it's similar to the college. It's similar to the bat, like to the NBA game as well, because you know the court is a lot more spread open, spread out. You know, there's a lot of long closeouts, and it's just, you know, it's tough. It's really tough. Yeah. So like I would say three man closeout is pretty similar to like playing in the NBA.
I could imagine it. I would just be like, okay, I'm going to back up from somebody, let them pick up the ball, shoot it, and just run out them and just like pray. Like, please don't make this shot.
Some guys, you can't do that. Some guys really just can't.
No, it looks like an impossible task, very implausible task. Going back to college, you guys had three players, you, Sam, and Jay, who make the league, who left last year for the league. Pretty good results of pretty high-level players.
For sure.
Right? Jay ends up getting a two-way. You and Sam. Sam starts a two-way, makes the team, still playing. His team wins, is in the thick of it. Got a good chance to go all the way to the championship. Why do you think there wasn't a deeper run for you guys in the tournament? I mean, I have my reasons. I have my answers. But before I ask you or mention mine, I want to hear what you think.
Hate making excuses. Not a guy that makes excuses. But I'm going to just give you the reality of the situation of what happened. We get COVID 5 days before the tournament. Quarantine at that time is 7 to 10 days. We get to the tournament on a whim. NCAA pulls some strings with Dr. Fauci, I guess. I don't know how, but I'm grateful for it. We get to the tournament the day before the game, and we ended up testing around 2 a.m. the day of the game. Go back to sleep, drive an hour away to Bloomington, play Ohio. And, you know, part of it is on us. I mean, we didn't play our best game. We didn't shoot the ball well. And if you look at Ohio historically, UVA struggles with teams like that, where they have a five-man that can shoot the ball. And when they put Vanderplas, who's going to UVA now, which is crazy, he decides to cook us in the NCAA tournament and then go to UVA anyway. They moved him to the five, and they were just picking and popping. And with our hedges, if they're hitting shots and we're not, it's not looking good for us because of how slow we play. You know, we just limit the possessions, and if they're not scoring and they're scoring, and if they're scoring and we're not scoring, then it's just not good for us. And so, you know, it was tough. It was definitely tough. When Ohio was a team that when we scouted them, like our green team was having a field day, and we were just like, look, we just got to figure it out. But, you know, happens. Things happen for a reason.
Well, fortunately for you, they turned out really well for Sam and for Jay. And you guys are now can look back and be a lot more comfortable with it where you're sitting at this point. Right? So, sure. You know, you also had only 1 year, not even a full year, right?
8 months.
Of learning the system, learning pack line, playing with each other, right? Certainly the whole COVID thing was really tough. Had to be really tough. I mean, when you combine those things, I think it makes it very challenging. And also there's a lot of pressure on the team that's supposed to win, right? So a team that starts playing, a team that the underdog starts playing well, and the fans start getting behind it, although I don't think there were too many fans. But there's just the different level of pressure. Did you think that impacted you at all, too, during the course of that game?
For me, I don't think so, in all honesty, because I feel like we were the underdogs in that situation because of how much hype Jason Preston had. And Jason's my guy now, and, you know, we're cool. But, I mean, going into that, they had a Cinderella story made for him, and it was like we were fighting against that. And it was almost like everywhere I looked, everybody was picking Ohio to beat Virginia. They brought up the whole 1 versus 16 seed thing. And it was just like, Virginia's going down, blah, blah, blah. And you go into those games like, damn, like, you just want to prove people wrong. And we really did. We really wanted to. And we came very close to it. And I'll tell you right now, if that guy at the end would have missed one of those free throws, I promise you we were at least going overtime. Because, I mean, I hit the shot before that to bring us within two, I think. It might have been two. And then he hits both free throws and then puts him up four, and it was game over by then. But he misses one of those free throws, I can almost promise you that we're going overtime.
But, all right, last question for you. When did you know we're running out of time? When did you realize and when did you think and know for sure that you were going to take a leap and go to the league?
Going into the process, when I first went into the draft process, I maintained my eligibility. But once I finally got down to Miami, I started working out with those guys that were also in the draft. I knew by like the second workout I wasn't going back to UVA, because I just saw how I stood up against those guys. And I could just tell my confidence level was at a different level. Like, I just felt so sure of myself. And I was just like, all right, I know what's going to happen. Like, I got my draft report back when I first left. And it was like, my prediction for where I was going to get drafted was like 20% early second round. And then like 60% late second round, and then 20% undrafted. And I saw that and I like laughed at it, because I just knew, like, I knew it wasn't going to fold. I knew it wasn't going to fold out like that, because you just put together somebody who's 6'9", can shoot the ball, athletic, and defend. Just based off that alone, that's a first round draft pick. And that's not even including like the intangibles and the ability to put the ball on the floor as well. And so I knew I was fine. And plus, I knew I would show people in my workouts that I was one of the best players in the whole draft. And so, yeah.
Well, you're proving that now. All the best to you. Congrats on being the number 17 pick in the 2022 draft. I'm sorry, 2021 draft. And keep going. Huge fans. All the best to you next year. And please say hello to your parents. And really enjoyed meeting them in Vegas last year. Folks, thanks so much for joining us. This is Locker Room Access, brought to you by Rhymes and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged, and Multiverse Kitchen.